listening to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. The Mog, not to be mistaken for John Candy's half-man, half-dog character from 1987 Spaceballs, is a mouthpiece for Mid-Atlantic creatives. I'm your host, Brad Cox, the Mog Father, a name affectionately coined and given to me by conversations with Rich Bennett, and I'm here to let you into the Mog House. Let's see who and what we're chewing on today on the Mog. The Mog, podcasting from Underground Studios, aims to be an all-inclusive, all-things creative networking megaphone, and with the amount of talent we have in our own backyard, I don't know that we'll ever have a shortage of good content and rich stories to tell. Everyone has a story that's uniquely their own, and it's the Mog's mission to unearth it. The Mouthful of Graffiti podcast started as a seed and couldn't have grown without the support of those who sponsored us along the way. We'd like to thank Musicland, Reb Records, Capricos Books, The Gone But Never Forgotten Black Eyed Susies, Vagabond Sandwich Company, Double Groove Brewing, and the Baltimore Decal Gal. Don't forget to use discount code MOGPOD for a 10% discount at Capricos Books. Everyone knows you can't stop by Main Street Bel Air without grabbing some fresh new wax at Reb Records, followed by a delicious lunch at Vagabond Sandwich Company. While you're in town, swing by Musicland for the latest in gear and rentals or a relaxing pint at Double Groove Brewing. Rumors, a Fleetwood Mac tribute is coming to the APG FCU Arena on June 30th. Fans from across the nation claim that Rumors is the band to see if you're looking for an authentic recreation of live Fleetwood Mac shows. Tickets are available at HartfordEvents.com. The Phoenix Festival Theater is bringing Cabaret to Hartford Community College in June. Directed by Bambi Johnson, this risque Broadway classic set in the 1920s is sure to be a treat for Hartford County beyond. For tickets, visit HartfordEvents.com. Finally, Voyage, the ultimate journey tribute band, is set to touch down in Bel Air, Maryland on September 9th at 8 p.m. at the APG FCU Arena. Tickets are starting at $25. Visit HartfordEvents.com. Ashley Marie is a homespun acoustic singer-songwriter and rock and roller from the Mid-Atlantic region. She's a Virgo, which means she's humble, industrious, practical, and kind. Through my research, I was not able to find anything that would debunk these claims, thus proving astrology is as good as any other science. She's all of those things and a talented vocalist and performer to boot. I've been trying to get Ashley 2.0 onto the show for some time, so join me in welcoming the other Ashley Marie to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. Ashley, welcome to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. And so where are you coming this fine, beautiful, nearly summer, partially polluted Maryland morning?
So I'm coming from Towson. And yeah, we live down there, play music around there in Harford County.
And we do have a special guest in the studio today. Brett, do. I don't know your last name. McMinn, right?
McMinn, yes.
Brett right. McMinn. Brett McMinn is here. You are the duo artist with Ashley Marie often, correct?
Sometimes the roadie, sometimes the guitar player, sometimes everything else. So.
A little bit of everything.
So did you play last night at Looney's Pub South?
Yeah, I played guitar. My voice has been out for, I think, due to the wildfires.
Yeah, you sound like you've been smoking a carton of Winston's.
Yes, yeah. I'm not a smoker at all.
Well, we all are this week.
Right.
You've been playing out in the local cover scene for a long time. What are some of your favorite venues that you would like to give a shout out to?
Oh, wow. Some of our favorite venues, I would say Woodstock Inn is definitely a favorite of ours.
Where is that?
It's actually out in Woodstock, Maryland, right by Ellicott City.
Okay.
Kind of in the countryside. So we love that. It's really got kind of like a backyard feel to it. They have like bonfires and picnic tables and a whole like really cool setup. People riding horses like through the trails.
So, really?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really cool. I would say that's probably one of our top places that we love going to. I'm trying to think where else. I mean, the Point in Towson is right by the house. We could walk there if we wanted to.
Where is the Point in Towson?
It's right on the circle.
It used to be
right off York Road there.
CVP?
I think
Charles Village Pub or?
I think it used to be Sources. I believe is what it was called before.
But is it like right there by the Record Theater?
Yeah, it's right across, like across on the other side of the of York Road.
Oh, wait. You know what? CVP was down by the parking garage on the other side.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I was a Towson University guy, so I kind of remember the area, but I was drinking a lot too, so I don't also remember the area. So you were saying on Instagram Messenger that there's been other people that have been on the show before. So while we're doing shout outs, any musicians you want to give a shout out to? And have you listened to the show prior?
Yes, I have listened to a few episodes. So Benny Clow is a really good friend of ours.
He was like one of the first ones.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a really good buddy of ours. And we go out and support his shows and vice versa. And I've actually played a couple of duo shows with him before too. So it's always a lot of fun. I definitely respect him. We love Eric Butera and everything they're doing with Everwatt.
All those guys.
Yeah, they're amazing. We love going to their shows. So it's just great to be able to have this community, especially in Harford County. It's really tight knit and you get to know everybody really well. And just to be able to have time to like support them and, you know, and just kind of branch out and make those connections and collaborate. It's a lot of fun.
You've been doing the music for how long now?
So I've been playing live, I guess, for about 10 years. I've been playing guitar probably since I was like 11.
That's the lane I wanted to get in.
Yeah.
Have we met prior?
Maybe. I mean, it's
I just
possible.
Feel like, you know, we've all been in the scene for so long. Yeah. How have we not met? And it's very rare that I have somebody onto the show that I've never actually met.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've probably crossed paths or something in some way or another. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, were you ever in like a full band or?
No, I mean, I've played with full bands, like with my dad's band and stuff like that. Just kind of like jumped on stage, but I've never been in like a full like cover band.
So fun fact, you are, as I said in the introduction, you are not the only Ashley Marie in town.
Right.
I guess you're Ashley Daughtry, correct?
Yeah,
that's
Ashley
how you build
Darty.
Yourself.
Yep.
Okay. So have you met the other Ashley? She's got the blonde hair. You've got the brown hair.
So funny enough, we haven't met each other, but we've had venues actually confuse us.
Sure.
And they'll like promote like for her when it's like my show or like vice versa. So we know each other like through social media and then we have mutual friends. I know she was in a band with our friend John Dawson for a while. I think.
Yeah. Drummer.
Yeah. Drummer. Yep. So, yeah, we've never actually met in person either, but we're, I guess, supporters of each other from afar. I'm sure we'll connect at one point.
Yeah, I feel like you guys should do a duet and just be the
Ashleys.
Yeah,
we joked about that. We, you know? I mean, but maybe we actually will. That would be great.
It'd be a perfect pairing because she does like a lot of the uke. Brett, you could come in with a guitar and join the Ashleys. Sounds like an alternative rock
band.
Yeah,
exactly. Or bass, and I'll grab the guitar or whatever. Yeah. It'd be fun.
So before we get too deep into this, I wanted to give a quick mention to an incredibly awesome dude. Unfortunately, he suddenly passed. I just found out last night. Ian McGinty, he was the cartoonist at Cartoon Network. He did shows like Adventure Time, Puppy Cat, Invader Zin. We were literally just talking last week, and he was going to make a drawing of me as Jake and my daughter as Cake. And he was just a great dude, full life, and literally just suddenly found out he passed away. So I want to give him just a little bit of a shout onto the show.
Absolutely.
Give him a little bit of love. But just a reminder, you know, time's short. We don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fleeting. You never know.
Did you know Ian by chance? Or
We didn't know him, but definitely appreciated his work. And I loved Invader Zim growing up, and my brother was really big into that too. So very talented guy, and definitely a great loss.
Yeah, for sure. So we love you, Ian. Rest easy. I'm going to read the news real quick, and then we'll get into the podcast. Transcendent Events is bringing the emo show back to the Canal Club in Richmond, Virginia on June 17th. Are you guys big emo fans?
Brett is big
Brett, tell
emo.
Me about your favorite emo bands and what you love about the emo genre.
I'm probably the only 46-year-old that loves My Chemical Romance. Absolutely love
it. 45, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and the Used was, I love the Used.
I love the Used too. Paramore, all those bands. I'm a huge emo fan.
The weird thing is, a kind of a disingenuous thing, 98 Rock did not really push those bands as much as they did, like, say, the 90s.
Right.
And so what happened is the dinosaur rock is kind of starting to churn out.
Yeah.
And we don't have that backlog or backfill of bands to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
So 98 Rock, start playing more emo music. 46-year-old Brett would like to hear it.
I actually played in an emo band called Fools Can Be Kings back in Austin, Texas. So it was,
okay. Yeah. So when did you move to Baltimore?
2020.
So you guys recently met.
We met over the phone when
during
I was playing
COVID.
The show.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking. Like 2020 is like COVID.
We have a mutual friend back home. And she introduced us. So I was actually playing a show with that girl. And during our break, she's like, I got this friend I want you to meet. And didn't tell me. She lived 1,500 miles away. But we talked on the phone that night and talked every day since. And then I just eventually moved up here. So
glad to have you. That's fantastic. All right. Also on June 17th, Rapola Entertainment has Modern Mimes and the Heavy Hearts Tour coming to Zen West with Lene, Under Fallen Skies in North Bend. Feed the Scene has Bad Cop, Bad Cop, the Homeless Gospel Choir, Callie Massey, and Pity Party coming to the Metro Gallery on September 3rd. And finally, be the first to message me the word Ashley to win a $25 gift card to the Baltimore Decal Gal. So if you've listened to the show, you know that we always do fun questions. So we're going to start with fun questions to just kind of break the ice, although we've kind of broken it. Which Breakfast Club character do you most identify with? The prom queen, the jock, the criminal, the nerd, or the freak, or even the principal, if that's you?
Yeah, think about that.
Right, you can answer it if you want.
You can answer.
I'm definitely the janitor.
The janitor. Sure. The janitor. I didn't bring him into the mix.
He's the eyes and the ears of the institution.
Yes,
so,
he is.
So yeah, that's me. So
these kids turned on me.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They didn't change. You changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was very insightful.
He was.
And he always had the beers.
Yeah.
How about you, Ashley?
Oh man.
You see behind you.
Oh yeah, you've got the characters.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's me and Lisa right there. That's how we.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
I don't know. Who would you say I'm probably most
Judd Nelson's character for sure.
Really?
Yeah. So you're the badass.
Yep. She's
so the badass and the janitor.
I guess so.
All right. Would you give other people a hard time, or you're just kind of a badass by nature?
No, I mean, I'm just very, like, you know.
Direct?
Pretty direct. I feel like I'm nice to everybody, but I'm also, like, you know, take no crap. And that was a lot of the way I was raised, too, was just, you know, don't let anyone mess with you or anything like that. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. I can't imagine this, but what is the worst thing that you've done to get – well, did you serve detention at any point during your high school or middle school
life? Oh, man. I did.
Yes. These are the stories we want.
I used to skip school a lot in high school and go to Taco Bell and, like, man.
Were you smoking the reefer?
Oh, yeah.
The devil's lettuce?
Yeah, of course. Of course. That was, like, a big part of it. One day I skipped school and my dad had a meeting with the principal about me skipping school. So it was just, like, bad because I was out of school and he was meeting with the principal about me not being there. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So he gets home and I like show up a little bit while later, probably, you know, probably pretty high. And he's like, where were you? Like, I was just in the meeting with the principal about you and you weren't even in school.
So you were having a Ferris Bueller moment.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I was like, I have my whole life going on. I can't be bothered with being in school. Like,
watch this be completely juxtaposed, but were you the good kid?
I mean, I wasn't the good kid, but I was the good one out of my group, I guess. My mom actually worked at the school as she was like president of PTA.
So you had to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah, so it was a little hard, but it was.
You weren't drinking in storage closets.
I mean, we were. my best friend back then, his dad always had a locker full of those minis.
You know, the little airplane minis?
Yeah, the little Jack Daniels and stuff like that. And
good
of course,
him.
You know, I think for us, we were more drinkers, but there was this one time that we were out smoking weed in this field and this car pulled up and they were wanting to know what we were doing. So we just told them we were studying cactus for biology.
And smoking that cactus.
And he believed it. Yeah, yeah. And we were so.
Horticulture.
And I believe that was my first time ever to smoke too. So.
Do you remember like back in like the middle school days? Because you're 46.
Yeah.
You could smell the teacher's break room just radiating with like cigarette smoke. It was like coming out from underneath. Meanwhile, you're like in like these assemblies where they're like, no smoking. Smoking's bad.
Right.
But every teacher here does it. You know? Did you have a favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Oh, I did.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, mine was Dungeons and Dragons back in the 80s.
Oh, God, I don't even remember that.
It was like 1983, 84, something like that.
Okay.
So. I was very much like a Nickelodeon kid in the 90s, so it was like Rocko's Modern Life, like Doug, Ah, Real Monsters, so a lot of that kind of stuff.
I haven't heard of any of those. I think I've heard of Doug.
Yeah, Doug was like a big one, I think, for me and my siblings. Like, we definitely... We love Nickelodeon, so.
So were you like the Double Dare era or?
Yeah, Double Dare. Let's see, all that. So very like mid-90s, I would say, is when I was kind of watching a lot of cartoons, early to mid 90s.
Yeah, we got
to
bring the green slime back. Oh, that kind of just went away.
Yeah, you can't do that on television. That was
That's what it was. Great show. Love to be on that set. All right, favorite Netflix series and why is it Ozark? So what is your favorite?
Stranger Things.
Is it Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
You know that number five's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Yep.
As is Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That's on its way.
I'm a real big fan of the Flannery ones too, although like the Haunting, Bly Mansion and all that stuff.
Yeah, those are fun.
Except for that last one, the Midnight Club, that one I didn't really get, but all those others were really good. So
was that the same kind of franchise?
Yeah, same kind. It just didn't really seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't remember even it just wasn't dialing into that one.
Cohesive, but
how about you, Ashley?
Yeah, I guess for Netflix, man, I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. My kids kind of like monopolize the TV. But
how old are they? They look like they're about 7 or 8.
Yeah. So my daughter is 6. My son is 7 years old. So, okay. Yeah. So I mean,
you don't have a chance.
Yeah, not really. They're big into YouTube right now. My daughter loves to sing. We got her a karaoke machine for her birthday. So she'll.
All right. Just like mom.
Yeah. So definitely comes by it, honestly.
So when are you going to have her up onto the stage to maybe do a duet with you?
So we have actually brought both the kids to some shows that are like family friendly. I guess the main one would be like the Sunflowers of Lisbon. We do those festivals usually every summer.
Where's that? I mean, it sounds like it would be in Spain.
It's out like, I know, it's right, not Lisbon, Spain. It's in Maple Lawn, Maryland, so out towards Frederick.
Okay.
And they have a big farm and sunflower fields. It's like pick your own, a lot of like picnic tables, very outdoor kind of event, and we'll get the kids like up on the microphone, they'll sing or talk, you know, or say like poop or something in the mic, you know, just
because they need to do that.
Yeah,
that's her favorite
so
word.
Important.
Of course it is. Yeah. All right. So do you cover any Avril Lavigne songs?
I don't.
Okay. I'm only bringing that up because there is a conspiracy theory that she was replaced, that she died tragically and untimely. Have you heard this conspiracy? And do you have a favorite conspiracy other than Avril Lavigne?
Oh, man, I've heard the conspiracy that she was, like, replaced with some sort of, like, clone or, like, double or something. I mean, I don't...
Same with Paul McCartney.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really buy into that. I mean, it's kind of silly. It's funny what people come up with on the internet when it comes to that. But, I mean, it is interesting. Like, people have really gotten deep into it, and they'll, like, make tiniest comparisons, like, with the features. And they're like, this is different.
It's it
like,
could just be the shadows or the angle of the picture.
Or aging, you know? Like, who knows? But
right. She's got to be, like, our age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But and she does a very good job of looking or dressing very young.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So do you have a favorite conspiracy theory?
Oh, man.
I think my new one is the wildfires were intentionally started so that they could make 15-minute cities out of...
Really?
Yeah, that they were, like, intentionally started to, like, flush out the people.
I thought you were going to say something about, like, pushing the global warming agenda kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But so the idea of basically burning the forest down and creating a city?
Right, yeah. Just I think, you know, that whole idea of, like, making the area toxic so that people would be forced to move out of the country into...
Well, that's sad.
Toronto or...
Yeah,
I don't know, or,
it's pretty devious, like...
Okay, so
that's the latest one I heard.
Well, a lot of conspiracy theories, people don't realize, people make them up because they think it's funny and they want to see what other people will believe.
Right.
Like, are birds real? The guy who started Are Birds Real, he started it as a joke and then he came out and said, I started it as a joke, and now people think that's part of the conspiracy.
Right.
It's so funny.
It's like people will just believe whatever the hell they want to believe. All right.
That's true.
One more fun question and then we'll get into your background. So dogs, cats, horses, or birds. Actually, do you guys have any pets?
We had a fish named Bluey, but he is no more.
Bluey's not with us anymore.
How old was Bluey?
Bluey, I think, lasted about
a year.
A year and
I'm sorry.
A couple months out.
Yeah.
So,
but, then he called it quits.
Was he a goldfish or
a beta?
He was a beta, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would have lasted longer if the kids would have kept their hands out of the fish tank.
Yeah, they were probably putting things in there. Who knows? Poor
guy. Chocolate all over him.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, that's how our hamster died. We were giving him Doritos because it was so cute to watch him hold this little triangle. Next morning, he was dead. So don't feed your hamsters Doritos.
Don't feed
Doritos. They can't handle
it. This is our PSA, by the way.
All right. Ashley, take me to the earliest years of your musical life. What albums or musicians were you first introduced to?
Oh, wow. So I would say very young, probably around 4 or 5 years old, I was introduced, I guess, to Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, and that was primarily through my dad. He's always been in like rock bands, and he would have band practice every week in our basement, and I would be sent to bed, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old, and I'd sneak down, sit on the basement steps and listen. They'd be playing like Led Zeppelin, The Ocean, or or Beatles, or Motley Crue. It was just, you know, so I had a really early, like heavy saturation.
Yeah, because how can you sleep with like Kickstart My Heart blaring in your bedroom?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not happening. But I was so just, you know, enamored by that. And that really, I think, cemented like my love for classic rock at an early age.
All right. What were some of the first instruments you played? Because obviously you've got a great voice. I was going to ask about chorus, choir, that kind of thing. But what about early instruments?
Early instruments. So in school, I did flute and clarinet in grade school. And then from there is when I moved to guitar, and I started out on electric and really loved playing electric. And then kind of slowly transitioned over to acoustic guitar. I've also played around on drums and bass a little bit.
I play you can do
banjo.
It all.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I have no classical training. I have no like no knowledge of like music theory or anything like that. It's kind of all been by ear. So that's where I come from as far as like my musical background is that, I guess, just being so surrounded by it with my family that it kind of just took shape and I was able to hear things and like know, you know, hear it
this
in my
is
head.
Right. Yeah. So the voice though, did you have any professional vocal training? Like were you with Steve Whiteman or?
No.
Is all just natural?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just natural. And I guess just, you know,
singing. So on that note then, you have to have confidence to sing.
Yes.
Right.
So confidence was actually something I've been struggling with my whole life. I was painfully shy as a kid and really quiet and really shy and had a hard time kind of making friends. And then after becoming a mom and getting out of kind of a toxic relationship with, you know, their father, it really kind of became like a forefront of my mind. Like, I want to do something for me. So I got really heavily back into music, I would say, in around 2018, and knew that, you know, I'm just going to have to get on stage and just and get myself back. And that was really, I guess, a driving force for me was that music has allowed me to be more confident and to find myself again.
It's very much an art therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so cathartic and it's a great outlet. It really is.
What about your mom?
My mom is not so I mean, she was in musicals in high school and stuff like that, but she's not like musically inclined with like instruments or anything. She's a very big like Neil Diamond and John Denver fan.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, totally.
John Denver.
Yeah. So she's got an interesting.
What is that quote from the movie? That John Denver's a lying sack of shit or something like that.
John Denver's full of crap.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
In middle school and high school, were there any bands or were you doing something? Were you doing sports?
I never did sports. But I mean, I was kind of like with the fringe crowd. Like I was so into heavy metal in high school.
Right, because you had a goth phase.
I totally had a goth phase.
I want to know about the goth phase. I want to know what bands you were listening to. So tell me about that.
Okay. So, I mean, I've always been a huge Metallica fan. So Metallica, Black Sabbath, I got into, there was some band at the time called like Bongzilla and they were like heavy, like weed metal.
Bongzilla. Fantastic.
Trademark
that.
I know.
Right.
This is wild. Dead Meadow was a big one too. I loved heavy metal at the time and I still listen to classic rock and all of that too, but
See, that's the weirdest thing. So I'm doing my research about you. And obviously, I cut the intro before I even got into all that. And I said I used the word homespun because I'm thinking folkier, acoustic. That's kind of the way you market yourself.
Yeah.
But then I'm scrolling through the pictures and I'm like, okay, there's a skinny, puppy Marilyn Manson girl here.
Right.
Like, who the hell's this?
I've lived many lives, I guess. Like, but yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, your teenage years, you're more angsty and you want to be angry at the world and you're like, ugh. Everything's just awful, you know, at least you think it is when you're a teenager. So,
well, it kind of is.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing. You're 14, 15 years old. We're all like, life sucks.
Yeah.
And we're kind of right. which is a really early time in life to realize that.
Yeah, because you're fighting that like need to just kind of be on your own and be independent in this solitary like person, but you're also, you know, still a kid. So it's definitely a weird, time in life for sure.
So obviously Brett's sitting here with us. So
yeah.
When did you guys decide we're going to start playing music together?
I think it was kind of pretty much always going to be that way. I was, I've been playing music since the 90s, early 90s in Austin, Texas. And I came, you know, from that huge music scene there.
Yeah.
So when I came in here, we sort of switched gears where I was, it was really where I was playing most of the shows when I first moved here. And Ashley was kind of jumping in on some of my sets. And then she was also doing her own thing too. But then it just made sense for both of us to just combine forces. And right around that time, my voice just started, you know, the different allergies here just
right.
would knock my voice out. So she just started taking over singing. And I just took over the guitar. And
yeah,
finally, you know, in the 20 years or whatever playing, I could give my voice a rest. So, because I was playing probably 4 to 5 times a week before I moved up here. So,
yeah.
But it's been nice and it's been just great. We have a great dynamic as far as how we do our songs and stuff too. Cause she actually does come from more of the rock background than I do, at least the heavier side of it. I came more from the alternative and the emo, punk side of it. And she came more from the metal side of it. So, yeah, Austin's not really that much of a metal town, so.
I was going to say, what's the difference Austin versus Baltimore?
Well, now you won't find hardly any original music in Austin anymore. But
really?
back when in the 90s, early 2000s, we have a 6th Street down there, and almost every single bar there was original acts.
Yeah,
I mean, it's always been known as the live music capital of the world, and of course we got South by Southwest and ACL and all those festivals there. You know, which I've been a part of. I played South by for about 10 years, but it's different as like there's so much more classic rock influence here. It's a very blue collar, whereas Austin was more of a college town and more a lot of country, but country
like red dirt country,
stuff like that. You know,
yeah. That's very insightful because like 98 Rock, for instance, they're still pushing a lot of that classic rock.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier on, like they never really got on board with the newer stuff, but that's because it is more of a blue collar
town. It's weird.
Town.
Like Baltimore is definitely more blue collar than Austin. And I guess those that aren't from Austin, I haven't seen it, wouldn't guess that being, you know, it being Texas, but you know, it's very artsy, independent, it's kind of a blue dot in a red sea. So,
okay. So I've had a couple duos onto the show and I'm actually curious with you guys performing and being in a relationship, are there ever times where you're at each other's throats and you have to kind of separate the business from the relationship? Like, I don't want to play that song. And now you're fighting about that. But then you realize that's more of a business argument.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that happens every now and then.
Yeah. I think if we're like tired or something, every now and then we'll kind of like butt heads on something or be like, oh, you didn't roll the chord the right way or this, you know, just like little things. Right. And you just kind of like pick at each other. But I mean, we always come through it pretty.
Right. Yeah. It's, and as far as the music goes, since she's doing most of the singing now, it's, I leave it pretty much up to her. But yeah, she's, I think we have our preferences of kind of how we want to do things. And I have a sort of way from playing so long that I like to do things and I'm sort of headstrong about it. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Yeah. And we get over stuff like that real easy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if the crowd's happy and, you know, it's a successful show, that's like what's important. But I mean, for the most part, we get along really well. Like we're, you know, pretty much together every day and.
And
most
like
shows,
and
so yeah. So I mean, we've kind of found our groove and our balance, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it work so well is that we are a team.
Well, you're both not fighting for the spotlight. I trust that.
I'm done with the spotlight.
Not at all. You're done with the spotlight.
I'm done with it.
You sound all like me. Like, I feel like we could have this conversation. But yeah. Do you know Sean and Carolyn from Cover Art?
I've met them. I actually played a show with them several years back at the State Theater.
Okay.
So,
Have It a Grace?
Yeah. So we did that. And yeah, they're really talented group and really nice people. Really cool.
Yeah. And it works out really good for those two as well.
Yeah.
So influences from childhood. What were some of your childhood influences versus what you're listening to now? Because sometimes you age out of things.
Wow. I mean, it's so funny because I feel like I'm still listening to the things I was listening to as a child. Like I still, Led Zeppelin. I still love Led Zeppelin. I'm still a huge Beatles fan. I love Neil Young. Still love Black Sabbath. And I mean, I've really pretty much listened to a lot of the same things throughout life. I guess the difference now is that I've gotten really into a lot of the artists coming out of Nashville lately, the newer country artists. So that's been really cool to explore and to kind of play around with doing some country songs. Sierra Farrell is a really big influence of mine lately. So I cover a lot of her songs on my set. So it's interesting because I like to mix up like the classic rock 90s, we do 80s, we do country, do a little bit of reggae. That's awesome. So we just kind of we jump around with genres. I don't like to pillbox myself into like one thing.
Right. Because we are all multi
dimensional
creatures.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've noticed that like when artists come on that are solo artists, you find that their projects are really diverse because they can't settle on a sound because they want to share all these different sides of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's where I come from, even like in my writing style. And once I do finally sit down to record that EP, it's like I write rock songs, I write softer, like, you know, kind of lo-fi, acoustic, folky songs, but I kind of jump around and I mean, I like that. It's fun to kind of just play with different sounds and make it fun and make it your own.
Any guilty pleasure bands or bands from maybe childhood that you would not listen to now that you really liked?
Oh,
like
man.
New Kids on the Block or something like that.
Oh, I mean, when I was like maybe 10 or 11 years old, I was like big into Britney Spears when she first came in. I had a Britney Spears shirt and I made my dad take me to like there was a Britney Spears movie or something with like Melissa Joan Hart in it. So I had to see that. And that was I mean, she's still I still like her. I think we've been working on maybe covering like her song Toxic, like in an acoustic version. Yeah. But
I would like to hear that.
Yeah.
That'd be good. That should be on the record for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Brett, how about you?
Like, as far as, like, influences now, I'm really big into a guy named Noah Gunderson. Noah Gunderson's probably my biggest influence. Rustin Kelly. Bob Schneider, who is a huge Austin artist, probably the biggest name in Austin. That's kind of mostly shaping my songwriting and stuff like that. But as far as, like, the past stuff, I've always loved Paul Abdul. Not even a shame.
Yeah, he covers
I do a cover of Straight Up, and it's always I'm a huge 80s guy, so that was my childhood. I cover Michael Jackson.
And, right.
Yeah, I have a real big backing in like soul and funk and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. Fun Brad fact, my very first concert was Gloria Estefan.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
It was my sister's birthday, and I got drug along. At the time, I probably wanted to go see, like, Poison or something like that.
Right. But,
all right. Awesome. So what is it about music that connects so much with you? And, like, what do you really love about writing songs, performing songs? Because it is a different thing.
Totally. So, I mean, I love being able to perform live because I feel like I guess in some way I feel like I'm connecting with people. Maybe,
yes.
You know, I try to pick songs that mean something to me and that I feel, because I feel like if I don't feel it, if I'm not relating to it on some personal level, then other people are just going to think that I'm just, you know, repeating, you know, just regurgitating someone else's song.
Right.
So I try to be really purposeful in how I, in the songs that I pick, the songs that I play, I want to have a connection to them. I guess the difference, you know, with writing is that it's kind of, it's just a way for me to kind of organize my thoughts. I have a really, I guess, loud and internal world, and I can't always say like what I'm feeling because I feel things so deeply. So it's like when I can actually express it, I feel like music is the best way that I know how to do that.
Totally. Probably a great way to do that.
Yeah.
So are you more of a music person or a words person then?
Probably more of a words person.
Because I am as well.
I pick songs because of their lyrics. Like, I'm very intentional about like what the lyrics mean and, you know, what message they're trying to get across.
And that kind of goes back to the punk rock thing that you mentioned on your SoundCloud.
Yeah.
A lot of that's not like great musicianship, but right. It's what they're saying that's really connecting with people.
Yeah. It's like the angst and, you know.
Like Bollocks right there.
Yeah. Right. That's great.
So what is your songwriting process? Because you are going to start working on some original music. You're going to be hitting the studio. So what does that process look like for you?
Well, it's mainly just me alone. I mean, for a while, like when I was writing songs a few years ago, I was just kind of sitting alone in the bathroom because, you know, the bathroom has like the best acoustics. I'd just sit in there with my acoustic guitar and I would just kind of zen out and just, you know, and just play until something sounded good. And then I just kind of just spill it out like while I was playing some chords that sounded good. It's very, really quite simple for me. I don't really sit and like draft things ahead of time. It's just kind of in the moment, like, what am I feeling right now? Like, what do I want to express? And I'm just kind of letting it all go. And I mean, I really have to be alone when I'm writing because I've never really tried to write a song with someone else, like,
well,
to collaborate,
right?
But
the future is bright. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing with songwriting, and that's that not all emotions are comfortable places to go.
Right.
I've been writing songs since 1998. There's 24 albums and EPs, and I can't write love songs. The only time I tried to do it, well, two times. One time, I ended up making the song a joke and added pornographic sound effects at the end of it. That was my first love song to my wife. Totally on brand. And then the other one was basically telling her where to put my ashes when I die. But otherwise, I've never been able to just say, I love you.
Yeah. I mean, it's
so are there certain areas or emotions that you're like, I just can't get there?
I mean, nothing's really off base for me. I feel like I feel like music is really the way that I can convey the things that I don't ordinarily talk to people about. That's where I kind of am like, this is where I'm going to put the truth of things. For me, it's just kind of, it's natural for me to just kind of spill my guts and be like, this is me. But I mean, it is personal and it's vulnerable when you show it to other people and you're just kind of like, you know, like it matters to me. So you want it to matter to other people too, of course. But I feel like, you know, if it has enough meaning with yourself, then that all that is secondary really to the process of writing.
Yeah. How about you, Brett?
I tend to gravitate to the uncomfortable. I like writing about the sides of myself or the sides of other people that I think that we shy away from. Like I have songs where I'm actually the villain and to just be honest about it, you know. And it's for one thing, it's in this day and age, like everyone's singing about how great they are and all this. Like it's just, I think it's more refreshing to just take the other side and
the
say
self-loathing
I was the jerk or whatever, you know. And it's not so much self-loathing, just like okay to just admit that like I messed up or that I did this. And I find that it's a lot different place from just the same old just let me sing about how great I am. And mm-hmm. you see that a lot in like rap and stuff like that. And it's just this self-aggrandizing stuff. And I like writing about going to places just that I wouldn't normally go when speaking or that I wouldn't be comfortable talking about.
Right.
So that I can put that. But for me, the whole music and the whole idea of songwriting and everything is I have to create. And to do it musically is like a blank canvas that is like three-dimensional, that it's something that anyone can take their own point of view on or, you know, get whatever they want from it. But I'm putting out my side on it. If someone can find something they can relate to in it, then great, you know.
Yeah.
And the music makes it kind of like – the music itself is the sugar pill and the words themselves are like that – it's the drug. It's the biting part of it.
Yeah.
I see it more as the melody is like the glass and that shapes the song. And then the lyrics and everything else are just the contents that go in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually come more from the music side than the lyric side. But the marriage, when you get the right lyrics with the right melody, it's just gold. Yeah,
it is. It is. So is there somebody that you guys would like to track with? Would you be tracking together? Ashley, would you be going in solo or?
So I plan to do solo. I mean, I'm sure Brett will probably come in on like some bass, maybe some guitar, harmonies. We'll see. I'm sure he'll be very heavily involved in the process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as people I'd love to record with, I mean, I love... I mean, Benny Clow is awesome. Like he's a force. So it'd be great to do a song with him.
We've got our buddies at Weatherly that,
oh yeah.
Christopher Mooneyhan and it's Kyle Reagan.
Yep. Yeah.
I was lumping John Amarillo cause of Old Man Jones, but
right.
Yep.
Yeah, they're great. They're great guys. We love Chris Mooneyhan. He's a good friend of ours.
He was
too.
The very first episode.
Really?
Right. So I basically decided I was going to do a podcast. I'd never done a podcast, and he had the Weatherly Report. So I was like, can you just come over and be a guest, and we'll just record it, and if it's not usable, it's not usable.
Right.
And it ended up being usable. And I always thought he was Chris Mooneyham, so I called him the Denny's Dish, like Moon's Over My Hammy. He loves that.
That's great.
So I'm going to use that next time.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. I like that when he promotes for his shows, he goes by C.A. Moon. I'm like, that's kind of fun. Like,
now, are you doing one of his songs?
What's that?
We talked about doing one of his songs.
The Story Hour song.
Yeah.
And
he actually
we're just trying to find the time to...
Yeah, he sent me a couple tracks. And I've just got to kind of get with him and figure out our schedules and stuff. You know, we're both parents and it's like...
Yes.
There's a lot of workarounds we got to figure out. But yeah, I mean, hopefully that'll work out and we'll be on the next Story Hour.
That'd be very cool. It's a very cool project. And like you said, he brands it as C.A. Moon. So if you've not heard any of the Story Hours, go to Spotify, pull up C.A. Moon, and you'll find it. On your SoundCloud, you say that you like to do acoustic renditions of rock and punk songs. My punk ears immediately perked up. Are we going to get a Misfits, Minor Threat, Fugazi, Pistols cover song?
So, yeah, I mean, I love all of those guys. I'm trying to think. Back when I had that SoundCloud, it was probably 2014, and I was really into, like, Andrew Jackson Jihad. I always loved the Ramones, and, Sex Pistols are great, too. But, yeah, I mean, we definitely want to work on some more punk covers and stuff to do at our shows.
I think we need to... do some replacement songs, actually.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Tommy Stinson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, can I put a request in?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a song called Silly Thing. It's kind of a Sex Pistols deep cut, but I've always loved the song. So, if you learn it, and I just happen to be at Looney's South or whatever, I'm coming up. We're doing it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Silly Thing.
All right, let's get into the foreground. We've done the background pretty well. I think we've kind of shaded that in. So your profile says you like hiking, traveling, creative writing, drawing. I'd imagine not all at the same time. But where are some of your favorite places to travel?
So we love going to Texas whenever we get the chance to visit with his family. It's such a different landscape. I had never been there until I met him. So I was imagining like old-timey saloons and cactuses everywhere.
Right. Back to the Future 3.
It's West Texas.
That was my idea of what Texas looked like. And he was like, no, it's nothing like that. I mean, it's really flat. It's definitely totally different. But but we love going there. I've been to Jamaica. I love Jamaica.
Yes, I've been to Jamaica.
Yeah.
It's totally different world there.
Yeah, it's like a home. It's like you just feel like you're at home. You can relax and exhale.
Did you get some jerk chicken while you were down there?
I did. We actually paid the bus driver that was driving us to the resort to stop off. We were like, can you just take us somewhere for like some authentic? And he's like, okay, I know a place. He took us to, it was like a shack on the side of a mountain. There was like goats like wandering around and
they like up on the mountain. You know, you see those names of the goats somehow climbing sideways.
Somehow stand sideways. Like, it was amazing. It was
so we got Texas, Jamaica, where else?
Jamaica.
What would be a dream place to go?
Well, I think next we really want to go to Tucson, and my sister and her husband live out there. So that's definitely a dream of ours. I love San Diego. My cousins live out there.
San Diego.
Yeah.
It's a whale's vagina. But yeah, San Diego is beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we love San Diego. I'm trying to think. I've been to Canada. I've been to Niagara Falls, which is amazing.
It is cool.
I mean, I'd love to see like all 50 states at some point. Definitely want to see like Alaska, Hawaii. Idaho. We watched, like, randomly watched a documentary on Idaho, and we were like, wow, it's, like, actually amazing there. Like,
the potato place, right?
Yeah. That's what we thought. We're like, it's just, like, a potato country, but they have, like, so many different, like, landscapes,
Spuds,
like,
as far as
rivers, mountains. Like, yeah, it's really cool.
So when you were out in Texas, did you see the armadillo? People don't, they don't warn you about that.
I saw one everywhere. Unexpectedly, and I screamed because it was right outside of our Airbnb. Right, yeah. And I think it was dark out when we got there. And I was like, oh my God, like jumped up.
They're like Mario characters because you don't see them.
Well, most of the time when you see them, they're dead on the side of the road. But yeah. The coolest thing I saw was a family of armadillos, and they were all walking in a straight line, a mama with like five babies just all in a straight line. They were crossing a hiking trail when I was out in the woods one day.
Aww. You love to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you miss them?
Not really. I think they're cool to look at, but I think they have like leprosy or something. So it's...
Oh, yeah. You told me that. They have leprosy. And
like I said, most of the time you see them, they're dead on the side of the road. So.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Now, with the creative writing, have you ever considered compiling all of your lyrics or poetry or stories and doing like a book?
Yeah. So in high school, I was so big into creative writing, and I had a great, great teacher who actually really encouraged me. He took me to see Eli Wiesel, the author of Night. He was a Holocaust survivor, and I was really inspired by that teacher. He actually submitted a few of my poems that were like published in some sort of local like poetry thing, and I did a few poetry readings in high school. So nice. I kept a lot of that. I still have a lot of the things that I wrote back then. But yeah, I love writing. That's always been a big passion, and it's definitely, I feel like, converted into songwriting, but I still do write poetry sometimes as well.
Very cool. So you guys have played a lot of shows. At this point, what is one of the pet peeves that you have? Because there's definitely things that happen in the original world that do not happen in the cover world and vice versa.
Oh, okay. Oh,
my biggest pet peeve is when we play restaurants and this happened back in Texas too. If you're going to have live music, be prepared for us when we get there. Like, we'll get there and they won't have our space ready.
The tables are still there.
Yeah,
you have to wait for them to stop eating to set up. And then it's like, we have 10 minutes to set up until we have to start playing.
It's mostly in restaurants. And yeah.
How about people trying to communicate with you while you're actually performing?
That's definitely a big pet peeve.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, sometimes you just get those really ridiculous requests. Like someone, like I had an acoustic guitar and they're like requesting me to play like Tool. And I'm like, I don't.
Right.
Like.
Can you play Schism?
Right. I'm like, I don't think that's really going to happen. Like. So that's always wild. But yeah, or just people trying to like jump up on stage or try and take over the mic. And that's,
they want Freebird, but yeah, they want you to play the solo. Like, I'm on an acoustic.
I mean, people touching your gear, I think, is the biggest, probably the biggest pet peeve. Because it's like, you know, this is not like free for all. Like, you can't just get up here and like mess with things. Or, you know, they'll just go like pick up the guitar. Oh, what do you got there? Like, no. Like, put it down.
That's my guitar.
Yeah.
So are you working a 9-to-5 on top of doing all these shows or?
So I was actually in banking for about 10 years.
Oh, we have this to talk about. I was at M&T Bank.
Okay.
Oh, it was an awful experience.
Yeah. It's I mean, there's so much sales pressure. It's very, pretty cutthroat. I was with Baltimore County Savings Bank for a while, and then we merged with First National, and then I was at Orrstown Bank for a while. Now I'm actually bartending and, doing event assisting with our local American Legion. So,
and you're TIPS certified?
Yeah, TIPS certified. Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, I love it because my family's been longtime Legion members. I'm a member of the auxiliary. So it's great to be able to hang out with the veterans and, you know, and just it works with my kids' schedule so much better. I'm able to get them on and off the bus, be home to cook dinner. Whereas, I mean, I might go back into banking at some point, but right now with their ages, it's just kind of the best to be able to work in the evenings, play our shows at night, and then feel like we're not missing too much of like that important time with them.
Yeah. Ironic or not, banking pays terribly.
Yeah.
You're in a place with all the money.
Yeah.
I know. They give it to you.
They don't. They really don't. I mean, you do get like commission sometimes for like referrals and things like that or like
loans. So were you doing home equity lines and life insurance and all that?
So I wasn't like Series 6 certified, so I wasn't selling like annuities and life insurance, but I did have my NMLS, so I was doing like loans.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
That test sucks.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember thinking, if the 2 years lapses, I will never do this again. It's I will awful. Get out of this field entirely.
It's yeah. And then you've just got so much pressure. And we had to log like every single call. We had call lists of people we had to call throughout the day on top of like, you know, balancing the vault, opening accounts, like you're doing all
pissed
these
off
different
people
things.
With overdraft fees.
Right. And then you've got corporate, like, why haven't you sold $1 million in loans today? It's like, well.
One of the things that was so aggravating, to stick with banking here for a second, is that we had a list of 200 people. That's what I had.
Yeah.
Now, I came from the Baltimore Sun where you had to make 50 to 100 calls a day. That's what you did, mm-hmm. right? And you had to log in. It was a pain in the ass. So to have a list of 200 people for the year, it's like, why am I going to keep calling these same people over and over and over? And then the next year it would be the same people with a couple people churned out and a couple people replaced. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Exactly. And they get so irritated. Yeah. I mean, I've had clients come in just to close out accounts because they're like, you guys are harassing me at this point. Like, stop calling me. Like, I'm
done.
Can
I sell you debt?
Yeah. Right.
It's a weird thing.
Right.
It is a weird thing.
Totally.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. Let's get in just some of the back end of this real quick.
Yeah.
What's next for Ashley Daultrey?
Well, I mean, other than just performing live, I guess, you know, the next step is that I want to really get a lot of the songs that I've written over the years just compiled and put onto an EP. That's, I think, my biggest goal right now is to get that accomplished. We've been performing live for so long that finding the time, you know, between being a mom, working, like playing shows, I really just want to take that time this summer and get things kind of laid down and have something to show to people and put out into the world. So I think that's my biggest goal right
now. So you're going to go to Tony Corelli, Josiah Orsi, John Grant?
Possibly. I mean, yeah.
All of them?
Those are all options.
Weatherly? Yeah. They get a studio.
Yeah, we have a home studio. We might do some recording there and then probably go to Weatherly for mastering or, you know, kind of right. see yeah. what.
I mean, mostly what we're doing at the house is for demo purposes to.
Yeah, pre-production.
Is that what's on the SoundCloud?
No, that's.
The SoundCloud was actually, that was like a digital recorder that I was like in my room in like 2014. I don't know.
It sounds great.
Thank you.
Yes. Maybe that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So those recordings sound great. I was going to ask you, do you have any, or could you record any of your original songs that I could tack onto the end? Because of copyright reasons, I can't put one of those on there.
Yeah. So I sent you an MP3 of my original Beyond This Town.
I don't know that I got that. Oh, I did get that.
Yeah,
it was in the email, not the messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond This Town. Perfect.
Yep. So that's an original that I recorded a few years ago at a friend's studio.
Yes. Okay, so what is Beyond This Town about? And now I feel embarrassed because I didn't listen to it because I forgot it was there.
Not at all. It's okay. So, I mean, I guess mostly what it's about ultimately is hope. I was kind of in a dark place when I wrote it. I was really trying to just get my head above.
Was this the goth phase?
No, okay. It wasn't. This was just, you know, I was a single mom at the time, okay. And I just wasn't sure, you know, what life had in store for me, like what I was going to do, like if I was going to be successful and trying to get back out performing live again. And I was just trying to find, you know, something to look ahead to, like that I'm going to get out of this like dark place in my head and in my life right now. And things are going to get better. So that's really, I guess, the crux of what it's about is that it was, you know, hope. Just I have hope and faith that things are going to improve for me and for my life.
Were you in a state at the time of maybe like a fight or flight and kind of trying to figure out which direction to go with that?
It was very much like survival mode. I mean, I was in, I guess, like I said previously, I was just in a really bad relationship and I had recently gotten out of it. And I felt like I kind of lost touch with a lot of my friends, like even a lot of my family. I was kind of having to rediscover, like, who am I? Like, what do I want for my life? Like, what, you know, what is there out there for me? Like, and yeah, it was just kind of using music as a way to kind of claw myself out of that headspace. Like, I'm getting out of this, like, one way or the other. And that was, I think, really, you know, the reason I started writing back then so heavily was that it was just healing for me to kind of put it all on paper and make songs to it, to express like what I was feeling, what I was going through at the time.
How old were you at the time?
I guess I was like 30. How old am I now? I'm 35 now. So I was like 31.
So in a sense, it's hitting you at a time in life where a lot of people are kind of going through a midlife crisis on top of being like going through a very traumatic situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I get pretty good vibes on people, and I will tell you, Brett seems like a great guy.
He really is. He's
you could just tell. Like, yeah. I don't even know you guys. And
he's a behavioral teacher, actually, for Baltimore County Public Schools.
Really?
So,
right now, currently, as a safety officer there, but I basically work. When I was in Texas, I worked as a behavioral teacher there. So I'm basically applying the same thing. And
I'm just curious because I went through a midlife crisis about mid-30s as well. Did you ever experience something like that?
So my midlife crisis, I say I have a reverse midlife crisis where
like your beyond this town?
I was living like a 25-year-old bachelor all the way till I was 41 when I met Ashley. My midlife crisis was actually settling down and becoming – you know, domesticated. And it was great because that's right around the time my body started slowing down anyway.
To reel you in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mine was about my mid-30s, but I will say, but for my child, this would have been a whole different game.
Right.
Because I was just aggressively drinking. It was like extreme drinking. And
oh yeah,
I had to make a decision, you know, fight or flight. Are you going to fight for this child or are you going to be an idiot? And chose to fight. But then in my mid-30s, I also went through this midlife crisis. Like, is this it? Like,
you're right.
Not that I wasn't happy, but I was just, you know.
Yeah, it's like you get to a point and you just feel like, well, is this how I imagine it being? Or like you feel like you should be further with certain things. And it's just, you start to reflect on like where you're at in life. And it's just all kind of comes to a head at some point.
So beyond this town, who's performing on this track? Is it just you solo?
So it's just me. It's actually, I performed it. This was a live recording, one track and one take that I did in a friend's studio. He had like a 70-year-old like ribbon microphone and a compressor and we just kind of, and that was it. And we just put it together and that's what I have out there.
Well, if it's anything like the cover tunes that I've heard, it's going to be great. I can't wait
to
hear
you.
It. And we're all going to hear it in a minute. How come you haven't put this on Spotify yet?
Honestly, I don't even know how. Like, I'm so, like, not tech savvy. I need to figure that out.
Okay.
Like, Spotify. I know, Brett, you have Spotify. You could probably show me how to do it.
I have an EP out on Spotify called Prodigal Son.
And Prodigal Son?
Yeah, it's the name of the...
What's the name of the band?
It's Brett McMinn.
Okay.
Yep, just solo.
Song that actually, most of that, those songs, I think, were written when I was in my head, when I was at Heathrow Airport, flying back home to Texas when I was living out there, but... that's the whole idea behind that one.
That's very cool. Well, we're going to hear Beyond This Town right now. Ashley Marie, Brett McMinn, thank you for being on the show. It was an added bonus
Thanks so much.
So
pleasure being here.
Yeah,
and enjoy Pennsylvania. Where were you going again? What was the town?
Downington.
Downington.
Yep. And going to Victory Brewing.
All right. Let us know how that is. Cause we like Kennett Square. We like,
it's beautiful.
Lancaster. And then there's another town up there. Oh God. Can't think of it. There's a lot of great towns in
It's so pretty, so much countryside. So,
all right, this is Beyond This Town.
There's a light beyond. I'm not the girl that I show you. I care too much and my heart's too true. I have built a thicker skin, 'cause I'm just not made for this world we're in. I'm just not made for this world we're in. There's a light beyond this town, and it burns so bright like fire. I'm gonna chase it now. And there's a road I will find, Lord, it just might take me a little.